Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joined by my awesome and phenomenal co-host, the motivational minister, Mr. Billy Miller, and the natural Zen diva, Dr. Ayo Kedar. Today is January 31st. Can you guys believe that the first month of 2011 is already over? But we are so excited to be here to continue another hot topic that we had last week. Now, for those of you that may have missed the show last week, Billy Miller held it down with the men on Mind Shift discussing relationships, and the show was entitled The Real Men Take Over. And on this show, they were discussing relationships, different perspectives of relationships, and it was just really hot. Now, of course, Dr. Ayo and I were not invited in on the conversation, and we were bubbling with just questions and things we wanted to say. So we were in the chat room, and we had some great conversation going on in the chat room. So thank you to all of you that participated in the discussion in the chat room. And we encourage you guys, even tonight, with this type of topic, normally we were not able to take a lot of phone calls from listeners. So we encourage you, if you have anything that you're just dying to share, if there's any comments, any questions you may have, please join us in the chat room, mindshifttalkradio.com, and ask your questions or post your comments or whatever it may be there in the chat room. And also, after this show, you may want to go back and listen to the replay from last week, because I'm telling you, the guys are on fire. It was awesome. We had life coach and relationship counselor Mr. Quentin McCall here with us last week. We had George Cooks III is here with us as well. Our Mind Shift couple, the mister of that couple, Mr. Chris Creighton, was here as well. So it was hot last week, guys. And so it's going to be even hotter this week because now the ladies get to join in on the conversation. So all the questions that we had last week, we get to ask tonight. Now, tonight we have another all-star lineup in terms of our panel that will be taking part in this discussion with us. Again, it's Billy and Dr. Ayo and myself. We have Mr. George Cook III joining us again for a second week. So he is always on fire when he's on the show. We always have to bring him back for a back-to-back, like, you know, double dose of George Cook in action when he comes on Mind Shift. So he's back again. We have the extraordinary life coach, Mr. Terrence Lethbridge, joining us tonight. We also have the phenomenal businesswoman, Sassy Diva. I like to call her Miss Lachey Primus, is joining us. And also, this is a new voice that you'll hear on Mind Shift Talk Radio. Now, we've been blessed to meet her on Facebook. You know, she's huge in the entertainment industry, just a very sweet and genuine person just by the conversations we've had on Facebook. But we've listened to some of her work, we've looked at some of her posts, and we said, you know what, we have to get this woman joined in on this discussion. So Miss Emerald Johnson is joining us from California tonight. So welcome to all of you that are taking part in tonight's discussion. So
thank you.
Before we get started, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Billy and Ayo. I want to hear your thoughts about tonight. What do you guys are expecting to see come out of this conversation tonight? And, yeah, just tell me what your thoughts are.
Whoa. I think the show, when the women did their show, you know, it was awesome. It was hot. And then the men did their show, and it was awesome, and it was hot. So now you have the men and the women joining forces. So it should be super awesome and super hot. You got what I'm saying? So that's what I'm expecting. You know, we're not on here. It's not a battle of the sexes. We're not on here to battle each other. We're on here to corporately produce information that the listeners are here that'll shift their mind, cause a mind shift in their thinking. So I'm excited about it.
I,
agree. Really, it's super awesome and super hot. Okay, what better combination is there? So I think it's going to be a great show. I know the panel that we have tonight, they're definitely going to bring it. We got some folks on here that are on some next-level thinking, so they're not just going to come with the ordinary blah, blah, blah about relationships and the drama and all of the negative stereotypes that traditional media avenues like to share. So this is Mind Shift Talk Radio. You know, we always got to do it a little bit different. So I know it's going to be fantabulous.
Yes,
that's
it
a new
is.
Word. Fantabulous.
Fantabulous, that's the word.
That's my dictionary.
You'll get all kinds of stuff on here. Now, I know we are getting a little bit of feedback. So, guys, if you can, if you're not sharing anything, please press mute on your line. Also, if you're using a Bluetooth or a speakerphone, sometimes that causes interference. So just want to put that out there. But again, so this is definitely, like you guys said, it's going to be a hot conversation. Now, I do, before we start the discussion, I guess I always have to put a little disclaimer out there for our listeners. Now, on Mind Shift Talk Radio, this show is about creating healthy perspectives in terms of any conversation we're having, whether it's about relationships, spirituality, finances, personal development, health, whatever it may be. We are sharing our own personal experiences as well as our own perspectives on these different topics along with our guests. So we encourage you, when you come to Mind Shift Talk Radio, you definitely want to have an open mind. Many people come to the show with one perspective and one view on the topics and leave with a different one. So it's really exciting for us. But again, at the end of the day, the whole purpose of this show is to create healthy perspective and to create an open mind to help us all to grow to the next level. So that's what it is with Mind Shift Talk Radio. So just have to put that out there before we get into this. Especially when I share some of the topics we'll be discussing, I'll probably say the names of it. I know I was going over this with Billy and Isle before the show started, and they were like, whoa, where is that going to go? So it's going to be good. But I'm going to tell you guys the topics that we want to discuss, and we'll go in order. First, we're going to talk about overcoming infidelity in relationships. Second, we're going to talk about giving it up, how soon and how much. The third thing, does size matter? Number four, the bag lady and her sidekick. And number five will be money matters. So that's the order we're going in. Now, of course, you know, we're gonna pay attention to the time. You know, looking at the time to make sure we're on point and everything. But that's it. So let's go ahead and get the conversation rolling. Now, the first one, as I said, is can we overcome infidelity? I'm going to start off with the ladies first, since the guys had a whole hour last week to discuss their. I want to start with the ladies. So I'm going to start with Emerald. Emerald, what is your view on infidelity? Do you think a couple can overcome infidelity and still have a healthy relationship?
You know, I do, but it definitely takes, first of all, both parties working toward the same goal. It definitely takes an honesty and I think a raw honesty about what it is that the cheating partner maybe was missing and looked for outside of the relationship, and then the ability to listen and understand on the perspective of the cheated, you know, to be able to say, okay, you know, I'm going to listen objectively, which is not impossible, but very difficult to do when you're in pain. But to listen objectively and kind of hear what the person feels like they were missing, but also share, you know, it's about communicating. And it's a rare thing, I think, that people actually fully get over it. They may go on in their relationship, but I don't know that there's a high ratio of people who actually get through it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All right. And now I see that you also host a show, so you're really like our expert on the panel tonight, Emerald, because for those of you that don't know, Emerald is the host of Love's Truth radio show. So her website is lovestruth.com. And so you're talking about love and relationships and so forth. So I'm sure this is a topic that you have to address on your show. But just based on some of the experiences you've had on your show, maybe having some listeners call in and so forth, what are some of the tools, I guess, or the methods that people are using to be able to overcome this? Because I know it can be very challenging, as you said, depending on the severity of the hurt. You know, what are some ways that you see couples are able to overcome this issue?
Most definitely. You know, I've spoken with people who have dealt with everything from emotional affairs to actual physical infidelities as well. Excuse me. And it really, it starts with, first of all, the desire to stay together because, you know, in my opinion, from observation, it seems that when women cheat, here we go on the male-female thing, when women cheat, they seem to do so because they've completely, you know, all but given up on their relationship. It's not necessarily that they're just stepping out and interested in something else or someone caught their eye sort of thing. Women tend to go, you know, quite a bit deeper when it comes to stepping out. And then on the male perspective, it's really that something's missing, some sort of support system, some sort of, you know, it's a little, it's different from either side. But what they've both done that I can see is that when they truly, truly want to work it out, they have to sit and they talk about it. And it comes up and it's, you know, very difficult thing just for anybody in any type of relationship, friendship or romantic or otherwise, is to forgive, but first learn where that hurt is rooted, you know, so that it's not repeated, because you can often step back on that wound and not even be aware of it if you don't talk about it. So that's the very main, I think, balm or salve that you can put on that type of injury in a relationship is communication, being able to understand really where it came from, and then where do you truly want to go from there? Is it something that you still want or not?
Definitely. Who else has a comment on that one?
I was just going to add, this is Lachey, I was just going to add that I think that is something you can definitely overcome, but I think counseling is definitely a key component. It helps if you have, if you share a spiritual grounding and you can pray together through this, be completely open and honest, because what happens when a person cheats is that there is a feeling of betrayal. One party will feel like you lied, you didn't tell me the truth, and I don't trust you anymore. So there's a complete breakdown of trust. So you got some real raw emotions to work through, and I'm a big proponent of counseling. I would say that this is something you have to work through. There is a root cause to why the person cheated, and there is some pain that lingers from the person who was cheated on. And you don't want the person to become vindictive or to become cold or hard. So, you know, I definitely would say, you know, tapping into the spiritual source, for me, that would be God and prayer, and also seeking counsel on that.
Yeah, this is Emerald again. I agree. I agree definitely with that. Because, you know, it's often that we are so kind of covered in our own hurt and pain or even perspective of a situation that it's very difficult to step outside of that to even see where the other person is coming from and where their hurt and pain is stemming from. So having that third party that can be, you know, non-biased and to see the whole forest, you know, and not be so engulfed in the trees is definitely something that both parties can benefit from. And spirituality, you know, definitely allowing God to guide the whole situation is key. Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, when a relationship begins to fall apart, it's often because some need is not met. Any relationship that's dwindling, if you do the research and trace back, some need somewhere is not met, and that's often the cause of a lot of problems. Pastor Dwayne Freeman said, ignore the need, and eventually the relationship will die. His wife came behind him and said, "Unmet needs are the source of frustration." So just like a car comes, when you buy a car, it comes equipped with needs. You know, it needs gas, it needs oil, it needs, you know, transmission fluid. But if you ignore the needs of that car, eventually that car is going to break down. So likewise, relationships are the same, because men and women have needs, and they have different needs. And if those needs aren't met, eventually that relationship will break down.
And I thought that was interesting as well, because that kind of went to what we were talking about early on about the relationship piece, when you talked about the needs. But I know before we talked about discussing relationship counseling. I know Ashay said she was a big advocate of counseling. And one thing we've seen even from studies is that you don't have the buy-in from men as you do from women to go to counseling, especially from African-American men. So how do we overcome that barrier in terms of getting our brothers basically to be open to going to counseling, but not only being open to going to counseling, but being open during the counseling process? Like, George, what's your take on relationship counseling?
I don't have a problem with relationship counseling, especially if I want a relationship. If a person wants a relationship, they would do whatever is needed to make a relationship work. To piggyback off of what Billy said, when things start breaking down, in my book, is that both parties or one of the parties have lost the respect and lost the interest of the other person. Like I said last week, was when we start talking about commission. The man should sacrifice his own needs and start thinking about only the woman, and the woman should sacrifice her own needs and think about the man. That way everybody's need is being met. But when someone starts thinking about self, the other starts lacking. Then the other one is speaking out, saying that, well, I'm missing this, and because the other part is not paying attention or they're ignoring it, then the lacking starts breaking down. Even when you go to counseling, I've never been to counseling, so I don't know exactly what a counselor would say, but I'm almost sure it pulls them back to the point where they start looking at each other and stop looking at self. It's about the other party, not about you. It's you're in this together, so you have to see exactly what they need and what they're looking for. That way everybody can be happy and everybody can feel wanted and needed.
I would like to add to what George said. I've gone to counseling several times. Like I said, I'm a big, you know, proponent of counseling, and in my previous relationships I've gone to counseling with guys that I've dated. I've never been married. But what I found, you asked about the breakdown with men in counseling. I'm very open, probably because I've been to counseling before, I'm very open and honest about what I bring to the table as far as flaws, as far as what I lack, very open and honest about what I want to work on, what I need to work on. And I find that the brothers that I've been involved with have all, you know, well, I don't have any issues, and they're not as transparent. And then we get into counseling and find out, oh, your daddy beat you in front of your daddy beat your mama, and you got issues and you got insecurities, and it all comes out like Jack in the Box popping out of a box. And it's like, dude, they just think that they're not as vulnerable to open up and share their issues. Well, we all have issues, and it's okay to say, you know what, I'm scarred from this. This happened to me, and I don't respect women because my mom did X, Y, Z, or, you know, whatever. We all bring baggage to the table, and I find that brothers have not been as open and transparent about their issues. And your past definitely affects your present. It affects you and how you see the world and how you relate to the opposite sex. It's very key, and I'm all about exploring those things so we can break those generational curses and we can move forward. But if you're going to be closed and not open and not transparent, we're not going to go anywhere.
And I just want to jump in on the conversation. I think the one thing that probably needs to happen in overcoming infidelity is to do the one thing that usually doesn't happen in a relationship that leads to the infidelity, and that's the communication. everything that has been said on this call so far about what to do to overcome it should have been the very thing that should have been talked about in that relationship before the something missing took place. You know,
right.
Emerald said at the beginning that women cheat because they've given up on the relationship and men cheat because something's missing. Well, you know, I suggest that both people knew that something was missing before the infidelity happened, but they didn't take
Absolutely.
The opportunity to talk about what was missing. If you talk to your mate, your other person, your spouse, whatever it is, about what's missing in your relationship before the infidelity happens, and then if your other person is open to the communication and open to working on coming up with helping that other person get what they need in that relationship, then it's going to be less likely that the infidelity is going to take place. Not impossible, because, you know, there are carnal needs out there that are usually deeper than the relationship that the couple is involved with. But if the communication happens beforehand and you talk about those things that you're missing in your relationship before it gets to the point of infidelity, then, you know, there won't be the need for the counseling and there won't be the need for the having the communication after the fact.
Okay. Now I'm going to move on. Of course, there's still more that we can say about this. So for any of you that are listening, if you want to ask your questions in the chat room, I encourage you to do that. But I'm going to switch to the next one just for the sake of time. So, but great stuff, Terrence. And you already have Chris Gloss high-fiving you in the chat room. So I think I can stop it. Okay, so moving on.
Speaking in my other ear.
Okay, so number two, we had giving it up. How soon and how much? Now, we're already talking about affection and stuff like that. So giving it up, how soon and how much? Who wants to take that one? And don't be afraid.
Don't be shy.
It's after 10, the children should be asleep, so don't be afraid.
So we can say the sooner the better, right?
Yes.
I would say the more the better, but okay.
Well, okay, let me tell you that.
Fairly soon.
One of the reasons why we want to discuss this, because I was sharing that I had a friend share with me about an issue she's having in her relationship, and some people may say this is a non-issue, but for her, she's used to being intimate at least 6 days a week, and now she's in a relationship where he's content with just 2 to 3 times a week, and so it's actually causing a challenge in their relationship, because for her, she feels it's not enough. For him, he's like, what's going on with her? Why does she want it so much? And so they're trying to meet some type of middle ground. And so we want to look at this from two different angles. First, when I talked about how soon, I know that many people are saying, you know what, it's best to abstain. And, you know, we can talk about scripture and we can talk about fornication and so forth like that and all of our different views on that. So that's one part to look at. But then also, as far as how much is that number, as far as what is the middle ground. And I'm really, we're interested in hearing this from the men as well, because I know the ladies have their own idea of what would be considered the norm. Well, I can't even say that across the board, because some women I've talked to have just said some other stuff too. So anyway, I want to hear from the guys first. What is the norm in terms of consistency? What is expected? What do you guys feel is normal? We'll start from there.
I don't know, but that story usually is backwards. Usually it's the men who want more sex and the women who want less sex in the situations I've seen. But I just think it depends on the person. I mean, I don't think it's a too much or too less. I think it really depends. But let's hear from the married man. What's up, Terrence?
well, thanks for expressing that part. That gives me some expert credence. I agree, Billy. I think it depends on each individual. And, you know, and piggybacking on what you just said, you know, men are more likely to say that they want it a lot. Women are not, because of that perception. If they put it out there open and up front, how society is going to look at them for saying that. But I think, you know, everybody on this phone has probably had that undercover, behind closed doors awareness of their other partner not being exactly what they said before they got behind the closed door. So that statement of being a and I'm going to quote it wrong, but you know, boardroom versus bedroom. That statement became popular for a reason. But the word normal, I never liked that word because it always connotates that you have to be a certain way. Just be yourself. If you are the type of person that needs to have it 5 days a week, go back to the earlier topic and communicate that before you get into it so that you don't get disappointed. And things change. We change. Our situation change. Our bodies change. Our ability to perform changes. So you've got to constantly have that communication as you go through the process and just be willing to, you know, take things to the next level and do something a little bit different. If it ain't working one way, then do something else.
Yeah, I would like to just throw in here, I hope you guys can hear me okay, from a medical perspective, that sometimes you can see a decreased libido because of the medications you're on, or if you have diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, depression, you know, that you it's just like it could be the medications or it could be whatever, you know, the disease state specifically why you're having a decreased libido, where you're just like, you know, I don't really just don't want to, and you don't know why. So that's something too that could be, you know, kind of put out there, that it might not necessarily that, you know, it's just like one person is just ready to go and the other person is not so ready. It could be because of other things that are going on that's related to their health. Just to put that out there.
Now, are there some herbs, you know, with you being the natural and diva, Dr. Howard, are there some herbs or supplements?
She's like, let's talk remedy.
Okay. And we are not about to get into that on this one because it's so many different situations there that we could. But yeah, we might have some suggestions for you guys. You guys will have to contact me on an individual basis for that one.
Okay. Wow.
But I got some other remedies that are non-medical, lingerie.
Okay. Nothing like an undercover pharmacist, huh?
Now, what do you guys think about the how soon part? This goes to the dating piece, not for married couples, obviously, for the dating piece. You know, what do you guys consider too soon or, you know, the right time?
To make it plain, literally starting from a Bible point of view, is until you get married. Now, realistically, what's going on out there now, I would say that a person needs to get to know the other, because that should not be a driving force. That should not be the top two or maybe the top three topics that's going on. Because if that's the driving force, once it's said and done, and the newness for guys and that when it wears off, then there's nothing else there for them. They're not interested anymore. They're ready to move on to another excitement, to something else. I think as a healthy couple trying to grow, they need to get to know each other. They need to learn each other's rhythm verbally. Just like Terrence was saying, you know, it depends on the person how often they want it. I mean, you can't find that out, you know, trial and error. I mean, you sit and have this conversation with that person, and you carry on an intelligent conversation, and you ask. I mean, I've had conversations like that. You know, what's your favorite position? What do you like? When do you like it? You know, does this bother you? Does that bother you? It is something that's finding out about your partner. So, I mean, once you find that out and y'all see that it's a possibility that this will be a good connection, then okay.
Yeah, I think it's important. This is Emerald. I think it's important for either party
to kind of make the other wait. That's what I was just saying in the chat room. You know, it's important because when you do get to know each other, especially from a female perspective, regardless of which party is the randier one, I think, you know, men are visual and women, you know, it's been said that our G-spot is between our ears. It's not between our legs. So if you can get to a woman's mind and through her mind into her heart, and then, you know, just gravity itself will pull you in other directions. So, you know, I think it's important to really take that time, like you said, and get to know the other person, because someone can be gorgeous when you first see them and be the biggest jerk you've ever known, and then someone can be kind of cute but the most intelligent, mentally stimulating, attentive person that you've ever known, and, you know, that person will win out every time if you give them that time. But rushing into the sack, you know, you know, it's kind of the climax of the movie being at the beginning. Why would you sit through the next 2 hours?
And I mean, when you are serious about a relationship, most people don't realize you got to get past the representative first. The person that you meet when you first start talking is not the same person after 2-3 years. I mean, you got to get past the representative, and a lot of people don't realize that they fall in love with the representative. They see the makeup and they see the clean shaven guy and the nice car. They go home with him and his house is wrecked, or they go home with her and she's a mess. I mean, it's getting to know that person. I mean, and it's because you're talking about something serious, especially if you're talking about I do, and today and time. The I do really don't mean I do. It's almost like a car now. You trade it in if it don't work good, and that's not how it's supposed to be. You know, I do supposed to be to death do us part. So if you're talking about a lifelong commitment, so why rush this? I'm gonna be with you forever. So let's really get to know each other, because looking long term, when I get 80 or 90 and I can't get aroused and you went through menopause and you can't get stimulated no more, okay. I mean, we still got to have some conversation. We still got to have stuff to do. If I didn't fall in love with you as a person when the sex and the romance is gone, or when the sex is gone, then we have nothing there. I mean, you can see some relationships now where a lot of married couples are together just because of the kids. And then when the kids are up and gone, they don't have nothing to talk about. So now they're at each other's throat, and within a couple of weeks or a couple of months, they divorce because there was nothing there holding them together.
Hey, this is Billy.
Now, I'm sorry, really quick, Billy. I want to hear from you. I know we have to hear from you. But I also want to hear from Lachey on this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Stacey, is interesting because, you know, I'll speak from the B.C. Shay before Christ would be, I would say, you know, between 2 to 3 months, to be honest. And, again, I have many lovers and never a love, so that's the B.C. Shay. The after Christ Shay would say, you know, of course I'm waiting until marriage. But I will say that as I am waiting until marriage, as I meet men and I tell them I'm celibate, then I see them making their exit strategy, which for me is a weeding out process. And it's like, you know,
amen.
What, I didn't waste my time with you. But again, with the representative, you know, some I've had men to fake the funk, like, okay, I can handle that, I can deal with that. And then, you know, they want to be all over you. No, you know, I don't want to do everything, but I'm married to Christ right now, and I really want my future husband to be married to Christ too, and I don't even want to have to explain that to him. So for me, how soon is when we say I do, if we say I do. If we don't say I do, then it's not a waste of time for either of us. We can keep it moving, you know, and it's no harm, no foul. So that is my perspective. I, before Christ, had a very high sex drive, and I very rarely met anybody who matched me. So that's something I'm going to communicate to my partner. Like, you know, don't just tell me you match me. Because very rarely have I met anybody who really did, you know. So that would be something I would like to really explore and talk about, you know. Like I think it was Terrence who said, most men will say they do, but they really don't.
I love that, too, when you said B.C. Shea. That was pretty dope. I like that, B.C. Shea.
Oh, it's cool. Really two different people, trust me.
All right, Motivational Minister Billy, what you have for us?
I want to share something that I think will help a lot of men and women, especially women, not every woman, but I've seen this situation happen before. It's a principle that I call leading with the tail. All right, and I want to share this with you real quick. You know, a woman get in a relationship with a man, right, and then they eventually have sex, whether it's 2 days or 2 months or whatever. A lot of times the woman will, you know, want to have sex with this man, and because men aren't brought up to say no. Women are brought up to say no to sex. Men aren't. If anything, they're motivated to say yes to it. So because he's in a situation, whether he's wanting to be serious or he getting to know her, because that sex is offered to him, right, and he has sex with her, now she's going to go and take everything she done learned from every relationship and just, you know, roll his eyes in the back of his head, right? And here's the mistake and the deception. He's going to come back tomorrow, and she's going to think, oh, yeah, we're working on something. But in reality, you done pulled on his flesh, and he's to the point where he done put you in this bucket now. He done put you in this category, and the deception is you think because he's coming back and he's coming back that you're working on a relationship, and then when it starts to get serious and he already got you in this category and they don't want to be a relationship, then he gets cast to be a dog and all of that. But both are in error in that, but that's a principle that I've seen a lot in relationships, leading with the tail. It don't work.
Wow. See, you guys are talking about some mature concepts here, because I'm going to tell you what, when I was younger, that didn't fly at all. Like, I remember I was dating this one dude, and we was like 3 months into it before we had our first kiss, and I was like, dude, are you gay? I mean, seriously, I was worried. I was just wondering what's really going on. And for me, you know, mind you, I've elevated now since then, guys, but it really was questionable. And when it was like it finally went down, I was so disappointed, and I was like, we were incompatible sexually, so he had to go. I mean, mind you, it's like the two that I didn't like, but so the things that we're talking about here is like these are some mature concepts, because for me, you know, if I'm not, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could not have sex before I got married. Because is there, I mean, can you train somebody? Can you guys work on it? Or is it bigger than the sex? Is that where we're at? It's bigger than sex? It's more about the spiritual connection?
What you are speaking on and what you have to trust in is your faith in God. Because what it said in the Bible, God brought Adam a mate suitable for him. And when he said suitable, that meant she met every need that he had, and he met every need that she had. Now, when you walk that road, and you're trusting God for that, when God brings that person to you, and y'all are together, that person will meet your needs. I don't care if your sex drive is every 5-10 minutes, and every
all
time you finish, you're like a
crack.
Yeah, you want it some more. that mate will match that, because God will bring that mate that's suitable for you.
Okay, but now we're getting, this is Emerald, now we're getting into a deeper level still about the relationship with God, because if you don't have that inner connection, that GPS, you know what I mean, that God positioning system within yourself, then how do you even know how to recognize who that person is?
It's a crapshoot.
See?
It's a it's a trial and error.
And
I don't agree if it's trial and error. I don't know if I agree with that.
What do you think?
I think that, no, I don't think you can just sit at home or just go to church and then the guy's just going to fall on your porch and say, here
right.
I am. But, you know, for me, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. And we have the gift of discernment. That's your GPS. It's discernment. It says, beep, 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 right here, turn left. This is it. And what you do is you're constantly praying as you're on the phone having a conversation with the dude. And you go on a date, y'all go get coffee. You're constantly praying. And I believe the Lord will reveal it, whether it be by dream, whether it be in conversation. He's going to say something that you just, that's it. I said my husband was going to be an artist, and this guy's an artist. And he's going to say something to confirm in your spirit that he is the one. And I believe that it wouldn't be a crapshoot, that it won't be, you know, Russian roulette. You know, I mean, my God is bigger than that. He's gonna lead me to my one and lead him to me. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Now, the crapshoot was saying she was stating without God, without the
without
relationship.
I apologize.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I apologize.
No, now I'm on the same page you on when it comes to God.
Okay.
We both walking the same road on that.
Most definitely,
right.
But that's very important relationship.
But even those
who
say they
go ahead, Terrence.
But even those who say they are in tune with God, they still have to have that word called discernment. And
mm-hmm.
and many times, even in our walk with God, we tell God, we pray to God for what it is that we want, and then we subconsciously start looking at everything or everybody that has every little inkling of what it is we just told God that we wanted. And then when we see that inkling, we immediately jump on it and say, okay, that was my prayer to God, and here comes that artist. But all that was just somebody walking by that met one of the qualifications, and we stop at that one
wow.
qualification instead of having that discernment to see if it meets each and every one of the qualifications. And depending on the age group that you're talking about, you know, if somebody in their 20s, they may be thinking one thing because, you know, they want to hit it or quit it. In reality, they're not being real with God about what they really want. You know, they may be in their 30s and they've gone through some breakups, some makeups, and some misbehaving, and they see it with a little bit more wisdom, and that discernment means something different to them. Now they are really getting out of their own way and letting God really lead them to that purpose or to that person. So, you know, we got to be careful when we use that word discernment and when we use that, you know, we're walking with God, because sometimes are we really walking with God, or are we getting ahead of God after we told God what we wanted?
Terrence, that is so accurate, because oftentimes what we do, and I'm guilty of this myself, is we want our will, and, you know, there are some universal principles at play, whether you're a believer or not. You can will things
mm-hmm.
into existence. And you can, that's a universal principle. We know in the Bible we can speak things into existence, but everybody can. It's a universal principle. And so we begin to desire someone so bad that it becomes our will, and we bring that person to us, but that's not God's will. And I've been so guilty of that. So it takes patience. Sometimes you ask God, is this my husband? And you may not hear anything. You got to stop. You got to stop, drop, and roll. You stop, drop on your knees, and you roll that word, and you pray until you find the answer. You don't move forward until you hear that answer. I mean, that is, I've been so guilty of that, you know, just going to make this be the one because it's
right.
what I want. He's tall, and he's cute. That's got to be the one. No, it's not. And it
right.
wasn't the one at all. It was a counterfeit.
And you can't play with God's word, because God's word says he will give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say that the desires of your heart is exactly within his will. See, we can say it. We can desire it so much that we want it, and God will give it to us just so that we can find out that what we thought we really wanted wasn't what we really needed. And that's what that's where we have to go through. We have to go through all that stuff that we thought we wanted that we really didn't need, so that when we get what it is he has for us, then all these other points about size mattering and infidelity and when you're going to give it up, it ain't going to make a difference, because if that is the one, I'm giving it up right then and there, because that's the one.
Right then and there. I'm going to give it up right there.
It is Billy. A lot of times, instead of letting God write our love story, we try to write the story and try to get God to stamp his proof on it.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all preaching a word right now. I was about to pass the question basket around, for real.
Amen. I love that, Billy. I love that.
Yes, this is, okay, great stuff. Wow.
We want to talk about the size matter now?
I want to say the answer is no. The answer is absolutely no, it does not. And this is, of course, speaking from my BC days, because I don't know now, but really, it doesn't matter. Because I say that because, you know what, I've had it bad and it was large, and I've had it good and it was small. So I'm going to say it doesn't matter.
In the words of Teddy Riley, it ain't the length or the width, it's the way you're working.
And that was Teddy Riley.
Now, let me tell you guys.
That
was Teddy Riley.
He was talking about weight.
Teddy Riley.
Was 30 miles.
Yeah, when I came up with this question, I like.
Oh, y'all were talking about sizes and weight? Oh, yes.
Oh,
that
the way
matters.
Y'all going.
Now, hold on, that matters.
Have
the men noticed that when this question usually comes up, it's very one-sided? Can I say to the women that size matters?
And Jet Pro in the chat room, come on, size of what? Wallet, Johnson, bed. Thank you, Jet Pro. I didn't even get to explain, right? Okay, so when I came with the size matter, that is one part of it. But also it was more so about the physical aspect of relationships. Of course that ties into it, but it was about one thing. I think with women, sometimes we have misconceptions in terms of what we think men want. And I was sharing this as far as like body types, and Lachey and I have talked about this, where I'm from the West Coast. I'm from Los Angeles. So back at home, I never had a complex about butts or anything like that. It was like, as long as you had a pretty face and you had some hair, you were in. And then moving to the South, it was like, I've seen a difference where it's not even so much about the look, but it's more so about the proportion of the body, you know, if she's stacked, basically. So it's different, and we were talking about how it's different depending on where you are geographically in terms of what the desire is. So that's where the just size matter in terms of what are men really looking for? What is it that they really desire? And what's really important? And Lachey and Emerald, you guys were on there as well. So that all fits in as well. But that's what I wanted to do.
But to the point about men, to me, size matters to me. I'm a health and wellness consultant. I work hard on my body. I work hard on eating right. I work hard on exercising. I need him to bring that same fervor to the table. Now, if he does not have that, I'm willing to help him. But size does matter. You want me to look good on your arm, I want you to look good on my arm too.
Right. Ditto. What she said.
Mm-hmm.
and remember, once you get married, please don't forget that.
Yes.
A lot of couples forget that. What got them is what's going to keep them.
Yeah.
If you're 36, 24, 36, when I fell in love with you and you know that's what I like, don't get married and turn out to be a 48, 50, 70.
Oh.
And then going to ask me the hard question in the morning, do I still look beautiful?
I think she needs to stay within your type, because if she becomes a 48, you know, that's not your type. Your type was what she was when you met her. I agree.
Right.
I mean, as hard
right.
as that may sound,
okay.
we have to keep it up.
I'm confused.
Yeah, speaking of
I'm confused.
Wait a minute, you guys are talking
Wait,
about
I'm
height.
Confused.
So go ahead, Io, go ahead.
Okay, on one end, if we're about spirituality, and if God brings somebody to you, okay, and y'all connection is on a deeper level than a physical connection, how are you going to frown upon me because either, you know, I have a child and I gain weight, or, you know, I'm eating as much sugar as I can and I gain weight? How does that work? I'm confused. It seems like there's
okay.
a disconnect there. Shouldn't you love no matter what size the person is?
Okay, one thing we must understand, and I know women understand that about men, we are sight creatures.
Mm-hmm.
We are that. We are attracted by what we see. Now, I understand the baby fat, and I understand that, you know, you're gained some pounds over the years, but, I mean, if we met and you're exercising and you're being healthy and you say, okay, babe, I want to stay healthy and this stuff, then all of a sudden we get married and all of a sudden, You break off from that, and you start bun-buns and couch potato, and you 300 pounds and still growing, and say still love me, but I'm still going to the gym though. I'm still working out, and I'm still trying to get healthy, and I'm still talking to you about, baby, let's get healthy here. Now, am I going to leave you? No. Will I be happy? Probably not. Because you're letting yourself go, and I'm gonna sit there and work with you to get you back to where you were. That's why I'm saying, you know, what got me is the things that's keeping me, and I know it's across the board with women. Some women like abs, some women like their men a certain size. Now, if he's working out when she first saw him and he's doing all this, but then also when he gets married, he starts letting himself go. She's like, okay. You know, what happened to all this working out that you were doing? Well, I was just doing that to get you. Okay, now it feels like I've been tricked. Okay, I'm just now getting past your representative now. And that, to me, a lot of relationships, not all, but a lot of relationships are put together that way.
Well, I agree. And to that point, I want to say that I think for men, their woman is a reflection of them. I mean, I've dated guys, and, you know, they just, it's like a badge of honor when another guy walks up to them and say, man, your girl looks good. She is fine. And they're like, yeah. And their chest stick out like, yeah. And I want to give my man that forever. I want him to always feel like, yeah, I got the best one. I got the dime piece on my arm. I want him to feel like that. Now, I'm not looking for him to be a bodybuilder and be perfect, you know. I'm not looking for that, okay? That's a bonus. I'm not looking for that. But we're talking about back to Christianity. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to take care of our bodies. So drinking, smoking, eating excessively, that's not taking care of your temple. And so, you know, I'm just saying, as far as a health perspective, it's not healthy. I want you to live a long time. You know, people with a lot of abdominal fat, they tend to have other illnesses and other diseases. They're prone to coronary artery disease. I don't want my baby sick. I don't want him in the hospital. I want him to be healthy. I don't want him to live long with me. So I'm not looking for him to be perfect, you know, perfectly ripped up. That's not what I'm looking for. But also, I'm not looking for him to look like Santa Claus.
Again, ditto what she said. Mm-hmm. Yep. Emerald, are we going to change your name to Ditto?
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I just think she hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I mean, there are men out there that will fall in line to what she's saying. But then there are men out there that's not going to fall in line to that. That's why we are not made for everybody. That's why God will bring that one that is suitable, because the one that's suitable will fall right in line to what she's saying for her. It will meet her, and they will be on the same page. Now, there are women out there that loves eating bun-buns and stuff, and she probably meet a man that loves bun-buns too, and both of them sitting on the couch eating bun-buns and happy.
Right, and going to his point even deeper, you know, I'm going to go back to what Stacey said at the beginning, you know, when she came to the South and it looked like the men, all they were looking for was these proportioned bodies and women were stacked, that were stacked. You know, when I was younger, before I got married, you know, that, as being a visual person, you know, that's what I was looking at as well. But then as I got older, I realized that some of those stacked bodies had stank attitudes, ooh, and I didn't want to be around them. But if I, but then you look at the person that wasn't stacked or just was considered average, that was right next to her, who was able to stimulate my mind, my man's mind, and keep me interested and keep me intrigued past the stacked body. And that was the person that turned out to be the person that was more interesting than just the body. And that's the message. If we don't leave any message tonight, I want to dispel that myth that all men are just visual and that's where we stop. Well, yeah, the visual opens the door, but you got to have something when we walk in to keep us inside.
Got to have a feng shui. Watch out now.
I also want to add to that point, because Stacey said my body's a man's playground. I am from the South, you know, I'm probably what you would call proportionate. But I go way deeper than that. You know, I'm not just, you know, physically, you know, whatever you're looking for physically, but I am very intelligent too. And I think a lot of times men may prejudge and just say, oh, and like, you know, one thing that I was working really hard on within myself over the last year or so is dispelling that myth too. That, you know, not just attracting men physically, you know, but going deeper, going mentally, going spiritually. Because sometimes men will think, well, you know, she doesn't have much to offer because she's built like this. You know, but I also want to dispel that myth as well. Just like I may find a man that is, you know, buff and perfect. He's got, you know, he's ripped up and he's got abs. But that doesn't mean that he's not smart. And that doesn't mean that, you know, he's not spiritual, or that doesn't make him superficial just because he has that look. So I also want to give that perspective as well.
Definitely.
Thank you for recognizing that all the abs are here.
We have two minutes to wrap it up, so we're going to let Emerald go ahead and share her last thought, and then we're going to wrap it up, guys, because we're coming up at the end of the hour. So go ahead, Emerald.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, it's very important for everybody, male and female, to understand that there is such a brilliance and an allure and a draw to a person who can balance brains and beauty. So do it. Balance your brain and your beauty, and you can't help but be alluring. I think it's something that shines from the inside out.
Awesome. You know, thank you guys. As always, when we have these conversations, there's never enough time to go through the whole list of questions that we want to discuss, and then we get caught up in these conversations. But again, this is something that you can talk about for days. You know, I mean, we can have this conversation for weeks to come and run out of topic to discuss in terms of relationships and what's important. But as we said at the beginning of the conversation, again, it's just about sharing different perspectives to get you to think outside of the box. And so we bring up these topics just for us to share, you know, what our thoughts are, what our concerns are, and to be able to see it from a different perspective. So that's why it's important for us to have these conversations between males and females to look at both sides of the spectrum. So I thank each of you for joining us, Emerald Johnson, Terrence Lefridge, George Cook, Lachey Primus. Thank you all for joining us for this week for Mindshift Talk Radio. We definitely appreciate having you guys here. It was an honor to have you guys here. And for those of you that are listening, we encourage you to follow these individuals on Facebook. You can find them all on Facebook. And also we said for Ms. Emerald Johnson, she is the host of Love Truths Radio. So lovetruths.com, you can find her there. You can find Dr. Ayo Kidar, the Natural Zen Diva. Billy Miller, the motivational minister, as well. And we encourage you to become a fan on Facebook, facebook.com/mindtalkradio.
I'm your host, Stacey Emery. Again, always a pleasure to be here. We encourage you to be here next week as we'll be joined by a new gospel artist, Jay Newry, and he'll be here discussing his new album and just talking about what's coming up for him. So we encourage you to be here next week, same time, same place, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, again, thank you guys for joining us. We will speak to you guys next week. As always, be blessed and have a productive and a safe week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Thank you all. Wonderful. Be blessed.
Mind Shift Radio.